Lovely. Thanks, David. Okay. So we have been looking at that summary. If you can remember back a few weeks ago, we've been looking at the summary, Chuck Cohen's summary. I think it was a 5-point summary of some key principles for corporate intercession. And we're just going to look at point four this evening, and then, Lord willing, we'll try and put it into practice. We are very much learning, all of us, in terms of how to intercede, how to pray together as a body. And so we are looking to go a bit further this evening. So let me begin by just reading that fourth point. Actually, I will just do a quick recap of the first 3 points, just so that we remember where we are. I can find them here. Yes. So the first point in the summary was about praying, intercede by praying both in the spirit, and with the understanding. And I think we were talking about tongues there, and also other things. Point two, we were talking about intercede based on the revealed word of God. That's point two. Point three was intercede having faith in the one who answers prayers and not in our ability to pray, which I think is a subtlety in there, but it's a profound and key subtle thing that we're trusting in him and not in our ability to pray, which I think is very important. And I think that was the last one we looked at. So we're moving on to point four. And let me just read it. I've just posted it in the chat there for anyone who hasn't seen it before. So here we go. Intercede by asking God as specifically as possible. So intercede by asking God as specifically as possible. Remember that James says we do not have what we are praying for because we do not ask. That's from James 4:2. There are times when I'm listening to a brother or sister pray, and I realize they are not really praying because they're not asking for anything. Praising God is fantastic, but it is not praying. Praying is asking, period. And there are a few scriptures there that perhaps we can maybe dive into later. Matthew 7, Matthew 11, 21, John 14, 15, 16. How can God answer our prayers if we have not asked him for anything? And when we do ask specifically, then we have a better chance of knowing and giving him the praise when he does answer. The reference there is Psalm 50, 15. So let's start by committing this time to him, and then we will move into some discussion. Father, the disciples came to Jesus and ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And Father, that is the cry of my heart. Lord, teach me, teach us to pray. Father, we thank you that we have this privilege, that we can come individually and we can come together in Christ Jesus before your throne room to commune with the living God, to listen and to respond. What a privilege, Father. And Father, Lord, save us from taking that for granted. It's only because of the blood-bought access that the Lord Jesus Christ won for us at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending him. Thank you to the Lord for being willing to walk that path and to drink that cup. And thank you that he drank it to its very dregs. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, as we come to learn, we acknowledge our dependence upon you. We need you, Father. We need your wisdom. We need your insight. We need your revelation. So we throw ourselves at your feet and ask for your mercy to speak to us, to guide us, to lead us this evening. And Lord, as we come to pray together, Lord, would you inspire our prayers? Would you lead us in prayer that we may pray what is on your heart according to your will for your glory? I pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lovely. Wonderful. So we're looking at this point, asking, intercede by asking God as specifically as possible. Malcolm, go ahead.
Reading the Chuck's note there, it would seem to say vaguely that we shouldn't be praising God, but I was always taught that we start the prayer by praising God and then ask him for what we want.
Thanks, Malcolm. Well, my response would be, I don't think he's saying we shouldn't be praising God. I think he's just drawing a distinction between praising and praying, or praising and asking. I think is perhaps what the distinction he's trying to draw there. But I would certainly be interested to hear what other people think. If anyone has anything they want to say on that.
Yes, I think it is both and, really. He's not suggesting for a moment that we don't praise. But we need to be conscious of the fact that when we're praising, we're not necessarily asking anything. Mm. And if we're not asking, then we shouldn't expect an answer. I think one of the things that stands out for me in this whole series is that the kind of prayer that Chuck is talking about is prayer that has a history at both ends. It has a history with God in terms of our own personal experience of him. And it has a history with God in terms of our knowledge of God through the scriptures. I don't know of a quicker way to have a historical relationship with God than to just soak ourselves in the scriptures. Because if we do that, then we know exactly what sort of Lord we're praying to. We know how he would respond in a given situation. He's made himself known to a great degree. And Elijah, we're told, was a man just like us. When he prayed that it wouldn't rain, he was praying on the basis of the Lord that he knew from the scriptures. God had said that he would withhold the rain from a rebellious nation. So Elijah was in very, very firm ground when he started to pray that it wouldn't rain, because he knew it was time for God to bring judgment to a nation that was basically in total rebellion against God. So Elijah was praying according to what he knew was the word of the Lord. Daniel prayed according to what he knew was the word of the Lord. He had waited 70 years for the exile to end, and he knew that it would end in 70 years because he was familiar with what we now call Jeremiah 29, which was Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. So I think really we need to be concerned to develop a history with God, both from the scriptures and from experience. And that then helps us to get to the point where, when we're not sure what to pray, we can look at the circumstances that concern us, and almost certainly something will arise to mind from the scriptures that gives us a basis for prayer and a confidence in asking. I don't know if that's helpful. But...
That's very helpful. Thanks, David.
I think, too, the point that Chuck's trying to make is we tend to be a bit imprecise when we talk about prayer. You know, we use the word generally just to mean talking to God. The word of God is much more specific. I remember, Nigel, you did a word study on words for prayer a year or two back on Saffron Planet, and there are umpteen different words for prayer. I mean, you get four of them in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, where Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, how would we define the difference between supplication, prayers, and intercession? I'd be hard put, I think, to put the fine nuances of what. And I think this is what Chuck's saying. We think we're talking to God, we're praying, but actually there are specific aspects. Worship is not praise. Praise is something different. Thanksgiving is something different to praise. They're all interrelated, of course. So I think he's just trying to get us to focus. Well, what are we doing at this particular moment in our conversation with God? Sorry, I don't know why the sword office phone is ringing at this time of night. In 30 seconds, the answer phone will pick it up.
It's David Andrew.
got a comment to make. It's gone. So, yeah, that's how I see what Chuck, to answer Malcolm's point. He's not saying, no, don't praise, but think specifically about what we are doing when we're having a conversation with God in some way, or what the focus at that particular moment in time is.
Great. Thanks, David. So I'm keen to understand, do people find it easy to ask for things in prayer?
I think that it all depends on how we see Heavenly Father. Mm. I think how we see him will affect how easy it is to ask. And if we see him as reluctant, then we'll find it difficult to ask. Mm. If we see him as longing to prove himself faithful, then we'll find it easier to ask. If we understand that the reason he wants us to ask specifically is that he can prove himself faithful. And when we ask wishy-washy prayers that are impossible to quantify, and he's thinking, go on, test me, show me. Give me the opportunity to prove to you that I am able to show you that I'm alive today. And you'll see that how amazing I am, and how loving I am, and how wonderfully able I am to amaze you and delight you. And when you pray in line with my word and pray for you'll be delighted. I will give you the desires of your heart then we'll slowly find that we can pray more specifically, because we'll get into the habit of learning to pray well, and learning to be more thankful, and we'll gradually kind of learn how this thing is wonderful and it works well, and we'll be less discouraged and more encouraged to do it in the way that God intended. Can I give a testimony?
Please go ahead, Nigel.
So some may be aware that I had kidney stones recently, and pain is a very bossy thing. And I asked other people to pray about it. And to be honest, I forgot to pray about it myself. And I was sort of crying out to God in a vague sort of way about it and relying on the prayers of others. And it suddenly occurred to me that I hadn't actually asked God anything specific about it. And my wife was about to go abroad, and it would have made my life really quite awkward if I'd been on the medication I was on, because it was very debilitating mentally and restricting my ability to do all sorts of things. So I thought, well, I'd better ask God to take away this pain before she travels. So I said, God, would you please take away this kidney stone before Sarah travels? I just prayed that, and in a kind of, I thought, well, that actually practically that would be very helpful. And I forgot I'd prayed it. And then Sarah went away, and I was still on this kidney stone medication, and I was on it for several days after she'd gone, and it was really very debilitating. And I suddenly realized that I wasn't in any pain anymore. And I thought, oh, yeah, I prayed very specifically that God would take away the kidney stones. And he probably did that back then when I'd asked him to. And I'd forgotten that I'd asked specifically. And this great man of faith had, totally forgotten that I'd asked something specific and God had answered me in time. And I was still taking medication, which was unnecessary. So, sorry, Lord, thank you for answering my specific prayer. And I'll remember to thank you, and perhaps, learn more about the walk of faith next time. But it just really amused me that I had a need. I asked specifically, and God specifically answered it. And he did it bang on time. And, we're all learning about this thing. And God delighted me, but I forgot. I forgot all about it. And I was suffering quite badly from side effects of medication that I didn't need to be taking anymore. And, that really, really delighted my heart. And I think God must have been smiling, waiting for me to work out that he'd answered my prayer, because I'd asked a specific question.
Amen. Thanks, Nigel. Thanks for sharing that testimony. Well, Malcolm, do you like to follow up?
Yeah, all I was going to add was that I won't say you were very lucky having an almost instant healing, but we have to remember that God's timing is perfect. And I mean, Sheila died 9.5 years ago now, but Sheila and I prayed for decade after decade for my eldest son's salvation. And we still have not seen that salvation. So I just acknowledge that God's timing is right, and I don't know when it is.
I wasn't talking glibly. And I wasn't talking about, lightly about instant healing. I know a lot about, having something that isn't healed as well. I was talking about a specific incident which I did receive healing for. And it wasn't instant. It happened over a period of, several weeks. But I'm talking about walking in the Spirit and allowing God to do things as we walk. And some, as you're right, some things, when we're walking in the Spirit, God does some things and he doesn't do others. And we don't understand that. We can't, he's not a sausage machine. And that's not what I'm talking about. But when we ask specifically, then we begin to learn how this process works. And sometimes what we learn more is that we don't move God, God moves us. Our prayers don't move God. They primarily, they move us. And God shows us how to be moved when we pray. That's what I think I've learned more than anything else is when we pray, God moves us.
Thanks, Nigel. Yes, it's the mystery of God's will, because I always think of George Muller and his prayers, and he prayed, I think the story goes, he prayed for three people for their salvation. He probably prayed for more, but there was three. And he started praying for the three of them together. And I think one got saved within a few weeks. One took a few years. And the last one got saved a short time after he died. So, you know, it's very specific asking, but very different timings. So the mystery of God's timing, God's will. But we're called, aren't we, in Matthew 7 to go on asking. To go on asking. Okay, anybody else want to make a comment on anything that's been said, or perhaps a different angle on what's in the points that Chuck has made here?
Add to Nigel's thoughts there. I love what Martin Luther said about prayer. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his generosity.
Yes.
Who said that? Sorry, David, I missed this.
Martin Luther.
Okay.
Said a lot of dodgy things, but I think that one he could.
Yep. I'm sure we're all capable of dodgy things.
Absolutely. I'd like to add one scripture to the list of scriptures, which I think is in this context, and that's 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 14 to 15. Which I think needs to be read in connection with the scriptures he's got in John 14, 15 and 16. 1 John 5, 14, John says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we desired of him." Because the significant phrase in that, relative to this discussion, is anything according to his will. And I think that brings us back to David Andrew's point about, you know, our prayers result from our relationship. And I can't remember if it was Nigel or Malcolm just said, what you know of your father, you know, who is your father? How do you relate to your father? So you that experience, that comes from experience of knowing God, knowing his will, and of course knowing the scriptures. There are a number of scriptures that specifically tell us what God's will is in certain aspects, and shaping our prayers around God's revealed will while we're asking him for his specific will in a specific situation. Because obviously if we're asking something that's contrary to his will, it's not going to happen. But it's that knowing things that are, so, you know, Malcolm praying for his son's salvation is according to the will of God, because God wills that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth in his generic, you know, in the generic sense, specifically praying into situations. So then I was thinking, we're talking about asking. Are we just limiting ourselves to asking for things, or asking for healings, or asking for God stepping into a situation, or are our prayers more shaped by the sort of things that Paul asks for in his prayers, which are wisdom, or that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, or that God will grant according to his riches in glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man? You know, what sort of things are we asking for? Mm. Or are we just limiting ourselves to what is, you know, casually known, majority known as shopping list prayers? How do we relate to our Father, and knowing his will and knowing his character and knowing his word? I say this not from the point of view of being a great prayer warrior or knowing anything of what I'm talking about, but just the bits I've gleaned over the years from others, from many others.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we're all, you know, we've all got L plates on our back when we're praying. There's no such thing as expertise in prayer, I don't think. So humility, you know, we should be asking the Lord just to give us that special virtue of humility, because when we're weak, we're strong in the Lord, and that's a beautiful place to be. I think also we need to realize that not only do we need to know God, but we need to know just how seriously amiss our prayers can be if we don't know God. I'm thinking of James and John suggesting that they could ask God to send fire on the Samaritans because they were inhospitable toward Jesus. They probably thought they were fighting Jesus' corner, but they didn't know what spirit they were of, as Jesus said to them. You have to read your King James Bible to get that, or read the footnote for, I think it's verse 56 in Luke chapter 9. There is no doubt that James and John didn't know God at that point in their prayer life. And so they were going to ask something that was completely and utterly contrary to the character of God. And in fact, when we think of John 4, Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman and the mercy of God that poured over that entire village, I sometimes wonder if that's the same village that James and John wanted to burn to the ground. You know, just amazing, really, to see God's mercy there.
Amen. Amen. Jeremy's waiting very patiently in the corner. Jeremy.
Yes, I have some sympathy for the sons of thunder sometimes, having a bit of Elijah in me, I think, sometimes. I've been considering prayer today, thinking about how at one time it was quite simple in terms of I'd pray for myself according to my needs, and I'd pray according to other what I could see the needs of others, and what I thought was the right thing to pray. And yet it becomes a little bit different, I think, as you go on and you start to think, well, Jesus made everything and everything is for Jesus. And I've been crucified with him, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And sort of moving on in some degree of revelation, small though it is, about what this means, about what I want now to pray for, because God, of course, is God. And one of the things apparently I say most frequently is, well, God knows. So what then does one pray for, knowing that God is almighty and able, and that I am grateful to him for the life he's given me, the resurrection life of the Lord? What is it I should be praying for? And so that sort of almost brings me to a stop, unless the Lord puts something specifically on me, or my needs become a little bit more pressing than they were when I was having such wide thoughts. But the thing that surprises me is how God, being able to do everything and for whom everything is apparently less likely or won't or doesn't answer prayer that isn't specific sometimes. And that's quite interesting, isn't it? I was reflecting on an account I heard of a man that came up for healing of his sight, and they prayed for his healing, and they prayed intensely, and they found no advance in his ability to see. One eye could not see at all. And so they asked the Lord, and someone had a word of knowledge that he didn't have an optic nerve in that eye. And so with that, they then prayed specifically for the optic nerve to grow. And I understand that this man then began to see, that they had prayed a specific prayer. Well, how does that fit with the Lord knowing everything, being everything, everything for him? You know, I tend to think that he can take my prayers, and a prayer for healing will do But isn't it interesting that in this occasion, it was a diagnosis, a word of knowledge that was needed as well as the prayer itself.
Amen. That is very interesting, Jeremy.
I think that's helpful because I think we sometimes forget that we do have the gifts of the Spirit, and that, you know, that prayer is one of the things that God has given us. Faith is another thing God has given us, but there are all these beautiful gifts of the Spirit. They actually work together, and it can be quite amazing how someone gets a word of knowledge, someone gets a hymn, a prayer, a revelation. It could be, you know, if we're moving in the Spirit together, then the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, and we all find that we've got something to contribute. I think there's a danger of those of us who have a charismatic background in forgetting that the gifts of the Spirit are there to supplement and support everything else that we do. We tend to overlook them sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Elizabeth.
Yeah, my experience of intercession is a group of like-minded people coming together. Who we are spending time in worship and tongues, and we're spending time getting closer to the Lord together in order to find out what He wants us to pray for, because often we're not. You know, we want His heart, not our heart, if you know, not our thoughts. So that's been my experience. But as we draw closer to God, things do get more specific. Like there's specific scriptures, there's a prophecy, there's a word of knowledge, there's something very specific. Like one time we were praying for Cambridge and the Lord gave us very specific things to pray for. So I suppose that's just my experience. I mean, maybe it's deviating from what we're talking about. But it's, yeah, I think getting to know Him, I think when He he's asked specifically, and I think He wants us to be more specific because it's all about us getting to know Him more and entering into that relationship. So we have that growing confidence. Sorry, I'm rambling a little bit. Hope you understand what I'm saying.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Thank you. Nigel.
I think what Elizabeth has said wasn't rambling at all. I think it's really helpful and really specific to this topic. But I think it's also important when we're having this sort of group discussion to remember that we are only talking about one type of prayer, which is a really important and valuable conversation to be having. But what Jeremy was touching on was that there are situations where this type of prayer is not necessarily an appropriate type of prayer. When we're in a situation where we just haven't a clue how to pray, when we're in a situation where we're at our absolute wit's end and we haven't a clue how to pray, and sometimes that can be for a very long time, and I wouldn't want people who are at this group to go away thinking, well, the only prayer that's valid is a specific prayer. Because I love the fact that there's one psalm in the Bible which absolutely blows systematic theologies about prayer out of the water, and that's Psalm 88, which is a very, very powerful lament. And anybody who tries to say, this is how prayer should be, we should always start with praise, we should always thank God for whatever, Psalm 88 is a prayer which starts with a cry of despair and goes on basically saying, life is awful. God, would you help me? When are you going to stop neglecting me? And he pours out his heart to God and he doesn't get out of that. And I'm just so glad that Psalm 88 is in the Bible, because there is the psalmist. We don't necessarily, I haven't got it in front of me, but you know, it's okay to sometimes pray like that because it's biblical. And it's worth remembering that sometimes people get very worked up after a session like this and think, the way I pray isn't right. But we can pray in any way. Really, praying is talking to God. And it can include anything. If God is our Father and our Father loves us, we can talk to him in any way at all. If you had a really good relationship with your father, then praise God. Not many people do, but if you had a really good relationship with your father, you know that you could go to him at any time of the day or night and pour your heart out about anything whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And Heavenly Father is better than any earthly father. And you can talk to him about anything. And, you know, with reverence, but you can talk to him about anything. And Psalm 88 is a lovely psalm that proves that we don't have to get things, all of our ducks in a row before we go to Heavenly Father.
Thanks, and I just think,
to me, that's important to remember.
Yeah. I agree, and I think it's also important to remember this is about corporate prayer, not personal prayer.
Yeah,
which is I think, in my mind, certainly a different thing.
I think also we need to come to terms with the fact that every single one of us here in this meeting tonight, we've all prayed in umpteen different ways over the years, and I don't think really as we've gone on in our lives, I don't think for a moment we've really thought that God wasn't listening to us because we didn't pray in a particular way. Sometimes a prayer is just wrenched out of you because of the anguish that you're going through, the trauma that you're experiencing. Other times prayer just kind of creeps up on you gradually, and you discover that as you're going through life that you're beginning to understand how to pray about this particular thing that's been on your mind for ages. So there are many, many ways of praying. I think the only point that Chuck is trying to make here is I don't think he's saying that specific prayer is the only way to pray. It would be a shame if we went home tonight with that idea. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Nigel about that. But I don't think really that's what we should be taking out of what Chuck's saying. Chuck is really just saying to us, look, God is a God of specifics. He doesn't think in vague generalities. He has a clear mind about absolutely everything, and he knows exactly what he's aiming at. And I think in some ways, the most important ask in a prayer is to ask God what we should be asking for.
Mm.
I think that's where we start. Really, we say, Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought. The scripture tells us we don't know how to pray as we ought. So let's have the humility to admit that and start at that point and say, Lord, we don't know how to pray. We just don't know what to do. Our country is going down the toilet as far as we can all see just now. And how do we pray about that? Lord, I don't know where to start. But Father does. He's not fazed. He's not confused.
I'd like to make a point relative to what Elizabeth just said in terms of corporate prayer, because I think what she touched on there is the answer to the deadness of most church prayer meetings. Before I go there, I just want to say Psalm 88, I was just looking it up, and it's written by Heman the Ezrahite, and he was one of the wisest men in the world, because it says that Solomon was wiser even than Heman the Ezrahite, and he has this prayer of absolute anguish wrenched out of him. And if you read the title, according to Mahalath Leonoth, it means chastened by sickness. So that's by the way. I think what Elizabeth said is really important, and David's mentioned it as well, the working together of the gifts in the body. I was struck last week on our Sunday morning service where the pastor said that implied that for most of us, our contribution towards the church service was just turning up. Just being there was such an encouragement to everybody and to her and whatever. And I thought, what model of church is it where just being there is your gift? The New Testament church is full of what we find, everybody contributing, as you said earlier, David, and what Elizabeth said, working together, praying together, learning together, hearing God together, coming back to this corporate thing. We did the church prayer meetings where we were the typical church prayer meeting, my experience anyway, a list of things. Everybody said what was on their heart to pray for. Notice on their heart to pray for. And we prayed through them, and every item on the list had to be ticked off. And if they hadn't been prayed for when we got to the end, then the coordinator would pray for them. There was no sense of burden, but there was a burden with one family who'd got an issue with drugs in their son. And we started a prayer meeting specifically to pray about problems with drugs and alcohol in our area of the Wirral. So we were praying at a specific topic, but we didn't know what to pray for specifically. But we were led to praying that God would uncover some of the sources of drugs that were coming into the community. And within 3 weeks, the police had uncovered two huge cannabis farms, not 2 or 3 miles from here. So we were led to pray for that specific request. But that came out of praying together for months as a group on a specific topic, 7:30 on a Saturday morning. we got there, but we'd learned to gel together, to pray together, to listen to one another as well as listen to the Lord. And I think so many prayer meetings, people just turn up. And that's their ministry in the prayer meeting, just to be there and maybe pray through some of these shopping list items, which is dry as dust and deadly dull. And you don't wonder that a prayer meeting is the least attended meeting of the week. But we couldn't wait to get there at 7:30 on a Saturday morning. I mean, before 10 o'clock on any weekday doesn't exist for me, but we couldn't wait to get there because we had that real sense of God being there, leading us and drawing us together and praying into what was really quite a serious matter for us. So I think this is the answer to the dryness of the corporate prayer meetings, not just have a meeting for prayer, but really meeting together, a meeting of our minds, a meeting of our hearts, and of course, ultimately, most importantly, a meeting with the Lord. And I think Elizabeth, you've really hit on something there. In terms of corporate prayer,
that might be a good place just for us to pause, and we want to put some of these principles into practice with our L plates firmly around our necks. The burden of my heart for us this evening to pray for is the church. Increasingly, the Lord has been laying on my heart teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. And my sense is that the people of God are being prepared for what's coming. I will not even attempt to put any timelines on it, because that would be me just making things up. But my sense in my spirit is it's coming soon. And I was just reminded this week of Job and all the suffering he went through, which, you know, we've all suffered to some degree, but and I'm sure many of us have suffered in many, many deep ways. Job's suffering was, to my mind, incredible. Losing his family and losing his children in one day, and his wealth and most of his servants, etc. And then to suffer physically as well. But as I was thinking about that, my mind was pondering back to that little parable that the Lord just won't let me walk away from, which is the wise man and the foolish man building on a foundation. And I think it was the contrast between him and his wife, which seemed to my attention was focusing on as almost a contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. Because when their floods came, and they were big floods, they were deep floods, it was heavy rain. Job's house stood. I'm not sure we could say the same for his wife. And it just was impressed. God was just impressing that on me today, or not today, but just in the run up this week. That I want to pray for us and for the church, or the church of God, the true church, that we are building on a foundation of God. Now, it's very easy for us just to think we are building on a foundation, but Jesus in that parable makes it very clear. He draws a very clear distinction between the wise and the foolish man. The wise man being the one who not just hears the word of God, but also does it, puts it into practice. And so that's my heart's prayer for the church, is that we together, supporting one another to build on the rock. That we're all going through preparation. There's much suffering. And of course, it's the testing of our faith. We should consider it pure joy. But in amongst that testing, the enemy wants us to feel that test and wants us to go under. But Christ, of course, is standing with all grace sufficient for us to overcome. So my heart's prayer is for us together as we go into the future, because as I look around and see just the sheer amount of so-called Christian material on YouTube, and there's such a mix now of truth and a little bit of arsenic in it, which is just enough to kill us off. And we have to be so discerning. We have to trust and rely upon the Lord for discernment. Because I think now, certainly it feels like to me, there's so much, the enemy in many ways, I think, is I suppose my fear is that he wants us, or he's trying to get us to respond the way the world responds to things, which is with fists and with accusations and with, you know, anger and all that. Because as we see laws changing, yes, of course we are going to have anger in the sense of God's ways and his name being blasphemed. But it's how we respond. And my concern is that many of us are tempted to respond the way the world would respond. And instead, I want to respond the way Jesus would respond. So I think there's a lot of danger out there. And we need to rely more and more on the Lord. And so that's my heart's prayer tonight, is that we the Lord would continue to humble us, because I think that's the key, humility, to continue to understand our dependence upon him for wisdom and truth and grace and everything we need. So I hope something of what's on my heart has been conveyed to you. I thought I would just begin this time of prayer with a prayer of Paul's from Colossians. From Colossians. So just bear with me one second here. So it's Colossians 1. No, it's not. It is. Sorry. Yes, Colossians 1:9 to maybe 12 or so. Just going to begin our time of prayer with that, and then I'll open up, please, as you're led. Let's ask, if we can, let's seek the Lord. I think David Andrew summed it up well. One of the first things we need to be specific in is to specifically ask the Lord to show us what to pray. So don't feel a need to just rush into prayer. Of course, if the Lord leads you and lays something for you to pray, please, by all means, feel free. But don't feel the need to just rush in to fill some silence. So let me just read what Colossians 1:9-11. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me read it one more time. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, Father, for you alone are God. There is no other. You alone are worthy of all glory and honor and praises. And Father, we come before you now to pray for your people, your church. Father God, you know the state of so much of your church. Where, Father, there are churches where the people that attend and the people that lead are not even believers. Father, we can only ask you, Father, to work amongst those churches that you might bring the people into your salvation through your Son, Yeshua. And then, Father, there are churches where the leaders and bishops, in some cases, Father, they are homosexuals. They are leading a wrong lifestyle as leaders of your church. But Father, they advocate the church blessing same-sex marriages. Oh, Father, there are so many things that we could pray for your church. Please, Father God, hear these prayers. I ask, Father, that only you can do something about these things. I come before you, Father, and I lay these situations before you, Father, and ask, please, Father, you will do something about these things, whether it's removing these people from what is called the church or whether you're bringing them into your way of living. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, I ask these things. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we consider your own prayers whilst you were on earth and how important they were. Lord God, how impassioned they were, how you would get up early, how important they were. So, Lord, we do pray that you would lead your church in praying these important prayers. Amen.
Father, your servant Paul is praying for a knowledge of you for the church in Colossae. And Jesus said that to know you is life eternal. And the knowledge Paul has in mind isn't just knowledge in a sense of information. It's a deep intimacy and a relationship with you.
Yes.
So that that relationship informs our whole walk with you and especially our prayer life. Father, we're asking you to bring us and bring the church that fears your name, Lord. It seems to most of us that there's very little we can pray about a church that's not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many people who do hunger for you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they do want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to understand your ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they do want to know how to pray according to your will. So that you hear us and so that we know you've answered. Help us, Lord. This is our prayer. Specifically ask you tonight to give us such intimacy with you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, Father, it's so easy to look out at the world and to see things that are not right. And to concentrate on those things. And yet your word says, when you see these things, look up.
Mm-hmm.
Father, forgive us when we concentrate on those things that are wrong. We can't know anybody else's heart apart from our own, even our own. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, your word says. So, Lord, create in us pure hearts and clean hands.
Yes.
So that we can truly hear what it is you're saying to us. Father, help us. We cry out to you.
Lord.
Raise us up, Lord, so that we are true ambassadors for you.
Yes.
This isn't a game. This isn't something we can come into and think, well, it makes us feel nice and warm and fuzzy. You've got work for us to do, Father. Father, start with each one of us, I pray. Cleanse anything out of our lives that's getting in the way of hearing what it is you want us to pray for.
Yes.
Amen. And help us to see that sometimes your answer to our prayers is no. It may be not now. It may be not because of something else, and it's not for us to know, Lord. So help us to see with your eyes. Oh, Lord, I'm reminded of Jonah when he was told to go to the Ninevites, and he didn't want to go because they were such awful people. But who are we to judge, Lord? Lord, send us where you will. But go before us, Lord, and prepare the ground, I pray. For your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God, for he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. Oh, Father, remove our high places.
Oh, yes.
Father, the foreign altars. Lord, anything which has set itself up against you in our hearts and in our minds. Oh, Lord, show us these high places, that we may remove them by your grace. I'm reminded of what Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. And Father, my understanding of that is if something is causing us to sin, then we need to remove it quickly, and we need to remove it permanently. So, Father, would you shine your light?
Yes.
To reveal the high places and the foreign altars, the foreign gods that have crept into our lives. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we've been talking about being Pacific, and I pray that you would show us specifically how to pray for your church. And also specifically, if there's anything in our own lives that we need to deal with, Lord, help us to really be Pacific with you.
Yes.
Not to be afraid, because you love us.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I would like to pray especially for the Christian Institute at this time. We're fighting the battle to stop the law that's planned to be passed by the end of this year. And I pray for all true ministers of the gospel to be protected from that.
Jesus.
Because if the law passes, then these true ministers of the gospel will be targeted. And it's on my heart to pray for a good outcome for the work of the Christian Institute at this time. Because this law is targeting ministers, true ministers of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I just pray for your protection on them. I give them the knowledge and understanding that they need to deal with this situation. But I'm praying specifically for the work of the Christian Institute, that there will be a good outcome to the work that they're doing, and also for the lawyer that's going to take up the case. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, I so agree with Mary. We long to see this evil legislation kicked into touch. I also have to confess before you, Lord, that I'm aware that Jesus had commanded his disciples to take the gospel into the world, to the uttermost parts of the earth. But he had to allow a season of persecution before they even took it to Samaria. And so, Lord, I just wonder, God forbid, and we do pray, Lord, we just ask that you would forbid that this wicked legislation goes through, because it's got nothing to do with protecting anyone. It's only got to do with making an excuse for targeting the church.
Mm-hmm.
But Father, we recognize that there's just a possibility that a season of persecution might be the only way in which a harvest will come into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we would not want to oppose you in that, whatever the cost.
Mm.
Oh, Lord, remind me that I prayed this way. Maybe I'll need to know that one day, that I prayed like that. Because I can't personally think of anything wonderful or exciting about persecution. But we do recognize, Lord, that your ways are not our ways. And your thoughts are not our thoughts.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, in humility, we hope we have humility. We pray that you'll do your will in your way, and that we'll have our eyes wide open to see exactly what you're aiming at. We need to see what you're aiming at, Father, so that we aim at the same thing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But do thank you for those dear souls in the Christian Institute, Lord. We really praise you for them, for Andrea Williams, for all the folks that are really fighting the corner of righteousness. We bless you for them, Lord. Pray you'd encourage them all. Just help us to make space for your way to be different from what we would want. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, prepare us all for persecution, Father. I'm reminded that the disciples rejoiced when they suffered. Now, Father, I don't say that lightly. But they rejoiced when they suffered, when they were persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. Father, would you prepare our hearts that when the time comes, we too would have the grace to rejoice and give thanks to you amidst great persecution. Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Our defense would be in the spirit that you would, that you give us, that's your spirit. Lord, we pray that the account that we give of ourselves would be honouring to your name.
Yes.
And Lord, I'm just mindful of Barry's words earlier about fists and arsenic and other things. And Lord God, we do pray, Lord, for this right spirit throughout your body. You know, how can we ask that your church will come to you and ask if there's anything wrong in what they're thinking and anything wrong in what they are feeling and doing, Lord, when we know that this is a prayer we need to pray to and be very close to it. Yes. But Lord, we do offer it to you to use. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do indeed pray for a spirit of knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and discernment in our prayers.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Lord, we thank you and praise you that all things are under your control. And Lord, we know that how things are going to proceed, Lord, in these times. And so, Lord, it doesn't come as a surprise. Lord, we just pray for an equipping of every member of your body, that we might represent you well, Lord, and that your will would be done through each member's lives, and that it would bring for only for what would bring glory to your holy name.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Lord, I just want to thank you that you want us to work with you, and that's such an amazing thought, that you want to use us, you want to communicate with us, and you could do it all without us, and yet you choose to have us come before you and pray back to you those things that are on your heart. Father, we can scarcely take it in, but we just thank you. Just thank you for who you are, Lord. Amen.
Father, we dare to believe that if you have gathered this little group here tonight and given us this level of agreement with each other, that indeed, Lord, you've given us agreement with you, we believe. That's an astonishing thing. But we also dare to believe that you must have probably hundreds or thousands of little groups like this, dotted all over the place, strategically arranged, placed exactly where you need them, where you want them. And we bless you, Lord, for that thought, that you are sovereignly coordinating a concert of prayer. And we don't have to hire a stadium to make it happen. You don't need our help and our good ideas. We thank you, Sovereign Lord, that you know exactly what you're doing and you're bringing people together and laying things on our hearts. Lord, it's so exciting, it's so thrilling to know that when we say amen to each other's prayers, we're saying amen to what's in your heart. That thrills us, Lord. We want to be the means, the conduit through which your will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we want your name to be hallowed.
Lord, my prayer is that you would give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name.
And heal us, we pray, Lord, where our infirmities could get in the way of your work.
Father, we come before you with our requests in the knowledge that we, speaking for myself, have a sinful nature which gets in the way so often, leads us astray. But Father, you've heard our prayers. For myself, I just say amen to everyone that I've heard so far. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Father, help us to anticipate a blessing from praying together like this, because where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, you've commanded a blessing.
Yeah.
And that blessing is pictured for us like the anointing oil pouring down over Aaron's head, the collar of his robe down his beard, lavish, extravagant, expensive blessing. Father, we anticipate such blessing from the unity that you've given us tonight in Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because David has just said things I couldn't remember the exact words, but exactly what I was thinking. So often you do that, Lord.
Yes.
When we're in your will, you just confirm in our hearts what we're thinking. So I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Amen.
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 Lord, I just want to pray for any amongst us that are sick. And I just pray, Lord, for your healing balm, your strength, the knowledge of your love, your arms around them. And for your healing, Lord, your divine power to come and bring your healing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, if persecution comes and we lose this facility to gather like this on the internet, and Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that if that should happen and we lose internet access or internet privileges or whatever, that you would remind us in those days when we maybe feel isolated that we're not joined together in prayer by the internet, we're joined by the Holy Spirit. And we're joined by our agreement around your word. And that that's not going to change ever, no matter how many privileges are removed from us in the future. We bless you for that, Lord. We praise you that you and you alone are the explanation of our unity. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I would just pray that we will indeed, as you said to us, to be anxious for nothing, but to concentrate on the things that are noble and true and pure and lovely. And yes, to take all our concerns to you in prayer. Yes. And that wonderful peace that passes all understanding will be upon us. The Lord, help us not to be anxious, but to look to you with our whole trust, knowing that everything you do is for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for your will to be done in our group. And Lord, we are aware that your will is done in heaven, and we pray it will be done on earth. And Lord, we pray for that will to be done for this group, Saffron Planet, how we meet together and what we do and who comes. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done so that should your will be for us to meet, that we would still meet. Lord, we pray for that. And for group composition. Amen.
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 Yes.
Yes, Lord, we trust in your timing, and help us, Lord, just to not to take anything for granted, Lord, but just to encourage one another as we have the opportunity. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray again within your will that, Lord, if we are going forward in any way that is not within your will, that you would close all doors that are not of your of you and that are not of your will. In Jesus.
Yes.
Hey folks, I'm going to draw us to a close there. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your insights and your contributions. Lord willing, we'll be back again, same time, same place next week. Presumably, we'll be looking at the final point on Chuck's list. I say presumably because I don't want in any way to, I want to allow room for the Lord to steer us in a different direction if he so wills. But until then.
Sorry, just before you leave. I noticed in the message that you said thank you for the prayers and support that while Saffron Planet was on hold, but I hadn't prayed because I wasn't aware of what there was to pray for, but had I known, I would have done, and I hope that whatever it was